So we're looking at the seed series, and we said all of your life is seed. All you do with all your time, all your value, all your effort, everything is actually seed. You're sowing towards something. And if we sow and we don't like the harvest, what do? We change the seed. Yes, we change the seed if we don't like the harvest. And so we looked at fruit. We looked at all of those things. So we've covered seed quite good, I would think. Then we looked at the soils. What is the soils again? It is the heart. Those are the seeds you receive. So you can, somebody can preach the gospel 24/7 at you, but if there's something clogged into your heart, then you're going to struggle to grow in that area. I was at Annelle this week again. Bless her ministry, Lord. And I was just so blessed. Was this one of those, Edna couldn't go. So she said, 2 months back, do you want to go? I'm like, yeah, I don't need to go to Annelle. Eh. It's always up until the week prior, then you know I need to go to Annelle. That's just code for those that are new. I need to spend time with Jesus. That's code. She's just got a beautiful anointing and a humility to speak into lives. And so the Lord took a massive rock out of my heart. That's 32 years old. I'm 39. You can do the math. We don't have time. So he took this rock out of my heart so that what? My soil can be better, so that the seeds of the gospel can change my heart and I can bear fruit. I can heal up from issues from where I was 7 and 8 years old. And so I'm thankful to the Lord, and I trust that you will do that. So we've looked at seeds, soils, but tonight I want to look very briefly at seasons. Seasons. I love these words. It's not a reflection on my sister. Maar my seisoen is oor. My season is over. We can celebrate new members tonight, so I can make this joke without crying. But I love it in charismatic circles when people arrive and say, my season is over. I'm like, did you really hear from the Lord? Or is there something in our hearts? But this is the positive seasons. Who knows exactly the season that they're in at the moment? I'm not talking about summer. Who knows exactly what God's season for Christianity across the globe is at the moment? Transition is good. I think that's close to it. Change, yes. And so tonight we're quickly going to look at seasons, because when we sow our seeds, we need to sow when the season is right. I'm not a farmer and I'm not a gardener. You can ask my wife. But you need to sow and you need to prune when the season is right. So this week the Lord decided clearly, I hope he does every week, but this week he clearly decided what we should preach on, what I should preach on. He decided. So I had two topics, and the Lord had a third. Guess one, which one is the best? Yeah, thanks, Gordon. The third one is the best one. So on Thursday morning at 4:40, 20 to 5, Mila walks into my room. Mila does that. She walks into my room, quiet as a mouse, doesn't make a peep. She comes and she stands. Luckily, I heard the door. She stands next to my bed, and then she just stares. It's pretty weird. The first 7 times is really weird. She just stares at you. Now, I'm awake, but I wait. Say something. I'm relational. Please, talk to me. But no, she just stands and she just stares. And that stares means one thing. That stares means get out. I'm getting in. And so then I'm a man of authority, so I humble myself and I get out of my own bed. And Mila, who is 3 years old, get into my bed. I need to tuck her in then, and then I need to leave. And she might even sometimes have the audacity to tell me I may not go sleep in her bed. But there I'm a bit of a rebellious streak in me. I get into her bed to sleep. Anyway, I don't have time for these long intros, but I do enjoy them. So I get into her bed at 4:45-ish, because after 5 I usually get up for quiet time. But then I thought, man, I'm knackered. So I get into bed, and as I get into her bed, I see / hear, sense in my spirit, not knowing, Issachar. To see like the word, Issachar. Yeah, that one, Issachar. But it's not, you're like, man, I go on and I'm like, I want to, and then a second time, Issachar. I'm like, what? Was that me? I haven't read anything about it. I know it's a biblical term. In that moment, believe you me, I don't know what it's about. But I know something's up. And so like Samuel, who knows the story of 1 Samuel 3 where God speaks to Samuel. Samuel, he's like, Eli, was that you? Was it my cell phone? What was that? And it was the same type of moment. And so I just heard Issachar. Now, Ross, our regional leader, said to me a couple of months ago, "Hey, Retief, you've got the Issachar anointing." I'm like, "What?" So I read up, and all of a sudden, these things came back to me there in the middle of the night. But the bottom line is, God dropped something in my spirit. He wanted to say something to me, and I believe tonight, very briefly, He wants to say something to you. So look to your neighbor quickly and say, "Issachar." Great. No, it's not when you go to India or Russia and somebody's like, "Is that a bike?" No, it is a car. No, it's not that. But it's a good way. I made that up myself. But it's a good way to remember it. So I heard Issachar, and God was not joking. So I knew He was saying something, but we're going to get back to that. Quickly back to seasons. There is seasons for everything. Johan, who remembers Johan Schumann, elder here for years? Unfortunately, they moved away. When we moved into our new place, there was this sand. So Johan taught and taught us about gardening. I still don't know too much, but Edna took off like a machine. She's like, "You can get her in, contract her, just after hours." And so He had to teach us when we can plant, when we shouldn't plant, when we should water, when we shouldn't water, when we should use fertilizer, when not, what we can plant in our area and what not, what is seasonal and what is not seasonal. So when it comes to gardening and farming, hello, you need to run with the seasons. Amen. And so even when you look at something like your business or your family or your wealth, as Chris beautifully said earlier, and even your wealth and your health, you need to be seasonally accurate to know what to do in what season. Who's got kids? A couple of us. So you need to be seasonal with them. I can't have my kids do stuff. I had a word the other day that's so accurate, but I can't do stuff with my kids that is not seasonally appropriate. Yet I can't let them do stuff that is not seasonally appropriate either. Amen? We hear this. So in gardening, seasons are important. In farming, it is important. In all of life, it is important to know the seasons. So again, I'll ask you, what is the season that you're currently in? And then if we get all spiritual, because we are in church, if you look at spiritual seasons, it is so important to know, when do I need to work? When do I need to get into the Word? When do I pray and fast and fight? When do I sit and wait? Stephen also beautifully often rebuke me in a loving, brotherly way without making it as a rebuke, but saying I need to rest, and he's right. And so spiritually, I need to heed, if that's the Lord speaking, that I need to rest sometimes. We need to rest. And so we need to get those rhythms and those seasons right in our spiritual life. When do I need to proclaim the word and hit the rock? And when do I need to speak and prophesy and just say thank you? Who's ever had a prayer where you need something desperately, but you're not asking, you're just constantly saying thank you to God? And so taking this, bringing this home, when we sow our seeds of prayer, when we sow our seeds, we need to know the seasons. Who's ever gotten a season wrong? Who's breathing? Put up your hand. No, grappie. But we've got a flesh, we've got a tendency, I don't think I'm driven. Edna thinks sometimes I'm driven. I don't know if anybody. Demi just got totally confused. Don't write that down. But sometimes I'm impatient with stuff. And so I want to go and move. And if God speaks to me about this country or that place, I want to be there already. And the Lord says, no, it's going to be a 10, 20-year preparation. Thank you, Lord. My ex-Retiefni, USFni. But the Lord is in preparation, and sometimes we get the seasons wrong. We want to see the fruit now. We want the breakthrough now. We want to be delivered now. And all of that is in Christ, but sometimes God uses process and season. Amen? And so if I'm sowing the wrong seeds, or I'm putting in the wrong effort, and it's not the season for that, I'm not going to see the harvest. So when I sow, I need to know God is sowing now. When I'm reaping, I need to know God is reaping now. When I'm pruning, I don't prune. When I let him prune, I know God is pruning now. And so when we catch his slipstream, when we catch our spiritual lives with his seasons, we're going to see the best fruit. That's farming 101. That's business 101. But somehow we don't get that as believers sometimes. Some of us have had the seasons wrong. I've had the seasons wrong. Do you know what leads to a wrong defined or a wrong timed season? It leads to heartache. It leads to frustration. It leads to loss, and it leads to unfruitfulness. If I get this season wrong in my spiritual life, God say, hey, church, you need to be on your knees now. You need to pray, because the breakthrough will only come in 5 years' time. And we like, no, Lord, we're just waiting for you. We're going to get frustrated. We're going to get mad at each other. We're going to get unfruitful in the process. And so I've had the taste of that. I've had the taste of getting the seasons wrong, because I would like to go, go, go. But God says, no, no, no. Proverbs 13:2 says, hope deferred, it's not on there. Hope deferred makes the heart sick, but a promise fulfilled is a tree of life. How beautiful was the testimony of Stephen, of 7 years of waiting, 7 years of patience, 7 years of process. And sometimes he says, he might say that maybe my heart was very close to being sick. Why? Because it just didn't work out the way I thought it would. The season didn't work out the way I thought it did. Edna was at a 20-year matric reunion last night. And so she tells the stories of the people, amazing and interesting. And yet when you hear some of those things, I think, man, I wonder if they had planned that 20 years ago. Probably not. And so the seasons of life, getting them wrong can lead to hurt. And so when I'm in God's season, I know there's going to be fruit. When I'm in God's season, there's going to be grace. There's going to be peace. There's going to be faith. There's going to be love. There's going to be comfort. And so do you want to with me be in the seasons of God when it comes to sowing your seed? I'm glad you said that. Because Psalm 127 says, unless the Lord builds the house, the laborers labor over it in vain. So people have got many ideas about church, lots of ideas about ministry. They've got lots of ideas about this church community. But if you're not going to walk the walk, maybe one should be careful in talking the talk. We should just humble ourselves before God and say, Lord, what are you doing? If you are doing this, we want to go for it. Scripture is full of seasons. Ecclesiastes speaks to us through Scripture. Ecclesiastes 3 says the following, there is a time for everything and a season for every activity under the heavens, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to uproot. Listen up, church. A time to kill and a time to heal, a time to tear down and a time to build, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance. And so, I want to say, Lord, that's, I believe, what walking by the Spirit is. That's why living by the Spirit is knowing what God is doing. God, are we dancing or are we crying? Are we planting or are we uprooting? Because I don't want to be uprooting if you are planting, because I'm going to screw up your plans. And guess what? I'm going to get hurt. God doesn't get hurt. He gets sad, I believe. But ultimately, he's got a sovereign plan for all of mankind. And so he calls us, but he's also given us this interesting little thing called your will. And that kind of messes with the season sometimes. But let's move on. We don't have too much time. I had Mila the other day tell me, I said to her, drink water. You've had enough juice. And she's like, water is not my favorite. There's more. Water maak me nie happy nie. You know, with all due respect, and I love you guys, and I'm exactly the same, so I can say that, but sometimes, aren't we like that with the Lord? Aren't we like that with church? Kerk, Sondag maak me nie happy nie. It's nie my favorite nie. And he's like, but it's good for you, drink it. It will lead to life. And so we need to be careful and say, Lord, we want to be in your season. And then here comes an even nicer one from Jesus to his disciples and to the crowd. Luke 12, because this is what we should hear today as a church. He also said the words to the crowds, when you see a cloud rising in the west, right away you say a storm is coming, And so he does. And when the south wind is blowing, you say, it's going to be a scorcher. It's going to be hot. And it is. Hypocrites, you know how to interpret the appearance of the earth and the sky, weather in other words, but you don't know how to interpret the times. Like, you're pretty clued up on weather. You know the economy and the share price, and you know the market very well. You know health and wealth and the things of this world, and maybe, like myself, I like a bit of rugby stats. You know the rugby stats, especially after yesterday, quite well. Ranked number one again, yes, thank you, Jesus. You know them well, but you do not discern the seasons of God. Imagine you're going to rock up one day, hey, is this my rugby karte? No, it's not about knowing the stats of rugby. It's not about having the stats of your the economy, etc. It's not about being an all-knowing on all of these things, being corrupted by the world and not knowing what the Lord is doing. Jesus there actually says to them, hey guys, catch a wake up. Do you actually know what God is doing? Maybe he's saying to me and to you, hey, do you actually know what God is busy with at the moment? The message there at the end of Luke 12 says the following. You know how to tell the change in the weather, so don't tell me you can't tell a change in the season. The God season we're in right now. Do we want to know what the season of God is? And is it important? Because I can be working on my pension so hard, but yet God says, you know what, all of it's going to come to an end next week. I just had a shock this week. Imagine I could tell you with authority, not like a cuckoo, Jesus is coming back on Wednesday. By the way, if I do that, it's unscriptural. Please leave this church. Amen? It's unscriptural, by the way. But if, in a metaphorical sense, I would tell you, Jesus is returning on Wednesday, what will change in your Monday, Tuesday, and part of Wednesday until Jesus rocks up? Will anything change? Church, will anything change? I hope. Okay, easier one. If I can tell you with authority, I know somebody who knows somebody, the petrol price will double tonight at 12. What will you do after church? Exactly. Thank you, sister. If we know what is cooking, we will sow wisely. If we know the season that God is busy with, we'll know what to do. We will not look like the world. I'm not saying don't invest. I'm not saying don't work. I'm not saying don't fill up your car if you've got the grace to do it. Because it's quite an expensive exercise these days. Anyway, who wants to know who Issachar is before we go home? Great. I probably need to come back to that. Issachar, we know, is one of the sons of Jacob. Jacob's sons, the 12 sons, was ultimately the patriarchs, the 12 tribes of Israel, who became God's people. And so Issachar was one of those. Wasn't the biggest tribe, wasn't the coolest tribe, wasn't the Hirtio tribe. It was just one of the tribes. And Issachar was Leah, not even, as I recall it, Jacob's favorite wife's son, but Leah's son, and it was one of the latter ones, the ninth son. So this we know by now. We know that Issachar's name means man of reward and hired man. And none of that made sense as I read all of that on Google on Thursday morning, trying to figure out why would I sense God say to me, Issachar. But then I read, according to scripture, the following, and immediately I had a rhema moment. Who knows what a rhema moment is? When you sense in your spirit that the Lord is highlighting something, or you are reflecting or hearing his heart in this moment. Like Samuel had that moment. Samuel, you have that moment. God is now speaking into my spirit. I did not hear him audibly, but I sensed it, and I knew this was supernatural and not me. 1 Chronicles 12:32 says, from the Issacharites, or other translations puts it, the sons of Issachar, who understood the times and knew what Israel should do. And then it goes on. So they mention they're going to war. They mention all of how big every tribe of Israel was. But in between, they throw in this passage.
They said, who understood the times and knew what Israel should do? So this particular tribe had this grace that they knew what the season of God was. They knew what the season of God was and what they were supposed to do, what Israel was supposed to do. Now, firstly, on a very practical level, they were astrologists, so they knew, don't get all freaky, they didn't have watches. They didn't have Google calendars. So they needed to trace sun, moon, and stars to know when the feast of God will happen. So they did that, and then the rest of Israel will, okay, Feast of the Trumpets, we'll do that type of thing. So they knew that. They were learned people, but there was also a grace to see when God was on something and God was not. Who knows that you can get church in church? Who knows that you can get a believer and a believer? Who knows you can get a fissy bumper sticker and a fissy bumper sticker? Are you hearing me, church? Something is God, and then sometimes you just discern this is definitely not God. That's why I don't have the sticker. But they had this ability to understand the times, and they knew what to do. Who wants that? Who wants to understand the times personally and know what to do in a season? Who's been in a season the last 2 years, sometimes feeling, what the heck is going on and what should I do? Phone a friend. Issachar. Issachar, help my broer. They knew when Deborah was one of the judges, a female leading Israel into battle. They could sense this was God. Even to the day, some people will freak out. Oh, this cannot be God. But yet God used Deborah and they said, this is God. When David was not even king yet, Saul was still king, the sons of Issachar knew that this is going to be the next leader of Israel. They just sensed and knew, and there was a grace upon them to what? To know the season and to know what to do about it. So just quickly, they had the ability to have inside knowledge of what the Lord's activities were. They were not taken by surprise when things happen. Do you know, and I say this and I have said it many times, but do you know how amazing it is from our heart, the grace that as we went through 2020, I knew that God said to our church, inside out. Yes, I didn't realize it will be so literal going into that year. But all throughout that year, in leading the rest of the congregation with the elders, I was just so thankful that God had given us this grace to say, this year will be inside out. In other words, He graced us by saying, this is coming. And when it happens, you're not freaked out. We're like, God knew about this. And in fact, the year prior, He said to us, build your house on the rock. Now is the time. Not if the waters and the wind come. He says when, and the next year, waters and the wind come. Thank you, God, for leading us, preparing us to build on the rock, preparing us prophetically to know that something's up. Third thing, they influence a result as a result. They have influence as a result of it. The other day, a guy was sitting. We were a group of leaders. I prayed and I had a word on my heart for him about a sabbatical. I'm like, oh, Lord. And I leave it, forget about it, move on. And then I'm like, oh, I've got this word. I'm like, we're closing shop. They want to go home. I'm like, I just need to pray this one thing. And I go up and I pray, lay hands on him. And then I call in a sabbatical over his life. His wife goes like, boom. Her first reaction is, ek het niks gesê nie. I didn't say anything to anybody. I'm like, what? Apparently the previous night they had an elders meeting. That was the whole topic the whole night. And he said to God, God, if this is really you, you need to confirm this. He thought like in a prophetic, vague, metaphorical sense with a picture and stuff like we do. Boom. And the Lord just spoke to him. It's not anything that I could do, but it's by God's Spirit. Like we'll see the anointing of the Issacharites. Just to know the season, and guess what? Because of that, he's now on sabbatical, getting rested up, so that what? He can get back into the kingdom afterwards. By the way, if ever you get that word for me, you're welcome to come and pray. If you get it from the Lord, and it's just a joke. Anyway, you can read through the rest. We don't have too much time, because we want to get to this place tonight before we close, and this, what does this mean to us? Ratif, isn't that just a word for you? Issachar there in the middle of the night when your kid wakes you up, and what do you do about it? I take it to the intercessors on Thursday night and I lay it down. Unless they've got a check now. I didn't see any check there. We prayed into it. And so in other words, the word gets tested. It gets put out there to be tested. Is this actually of God? Because we can't run around and run after everything that comes up in our heads. Amen? Amen? Please don't. Please don't. So I tested it first, but what does it mean for us? I believe God is saying, you need to take note. Just take note. Two things. God, you are putting your finger on season. Maybe even a seasonal change, God. Personally, let's take this to the Lord. Say, Lord, what is the season I'm in? Lord, the grace that you gave the sons of Issachar. Lord, can you give me that grace to know the season that I'm in and not prematurely jump ship or stall and miss the fruit of, that you want to do in my life? Lord, can you just come and reaffirm and confirm, not only for you, but then for your marriage, if you're married, then for your kids, if you've got a family, and then for your small group and for this church community, just to check in again, have an Issachar moment and say, Lord, do we sense you right in where we're at, and are we sowing, or are we pruning, or are we harvesting with you? Amen? Because ultimately, we want to see that fruit of God. Now, how on earth can the tribe called Issachar and the blessing they had be for me today in a new covenant dispensation? How on earth is it possible? Again, we've dealt with this in the seeds here. It's very easy. The Israelites, the 12 tribes, were the seed of Abram. Abram got what? A promise of God. That promise of God to Abram was to who again? And just quickly recapping, it was to his seed and seed with a capital S. Who is the seed with a capital S? Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. So Abram's promise, old covenant, that was given to his seed, being the tribe of Judah, Israel, and then to the seed Jesus, comes over into the new covenant dispensation. And so that grace we can grab hold on by faith. Yes. And by the way, the same spirit that of God that was in the Old Testament is the Holy Spirit that we have now. And so when we see the character of God in a certain way, God acted and reacted in a certain way, guess what? He doesn't change. And he's loving. He's also a consuming fire. So take heed. But when he gave them this grace, it was never that only they could discern the times and know what to do, but in the seed Jesus, and through faith of laying down my life and saying, yes, Jesus, I can by faith say, Lord, I want that anointing. It's an Issachar anointing because that floats around in charismatic circles. It's not technically wrong, but technically it's not in the word. So we need to be careful. It is the Holy Spirit that is the anointing. And a character trait of the Holy Spirit is that it can give you divine wisdom. Amen? This is not new. This is old news. It can give you divine wisdom and it can give you divine insight of what to do. Amen? And so we can just simply say two things tonight. To say, Lord, when I sow my seed, when I give my life, imagine giving 80 years of your life and it was in vain. Imagine sowing 10 or 20 years of your life. I was just not where God was at. Just imagine standing before him one day, making it in by the skin of your teeth, realizing, man, I could have been so more fruitful in my life. Imagine that, and that is what my heart is aching for. When it comes to the seed series, when the Lord says, Issachar, I want to firstly know, Lord, prophetically, what is the season we're in? And then secondly, Lord, can you speak to us and give us that grace? Because God is firstly not a respecter of person. He can give it to all of us. I've covered Abram. We can ask and pray and believe by faith. And then I think the last thing that is important that we need to note, that the sons of Issachar have this grace upon their life only for them so that they can fill up their car tonight. No, they loved. So they filled up their car. Please hear me. And they said to all their mates on their WhatsApp groups, hey, guess what? Fill up your car. So we can't ask for an anointing. We can't ask for a grace as a church community, as individuals, if we want to just know, Lord, what's the share price going to be? If I told you Apple's going to take over Cell C in a week's time, guess what? Those that can get a porpeta will go buy Cell C shares pretty quickly. We're going to be a rich church. That's not the heart. The heart is to know, God, what are you doing? God is saying, my son, Jesus Christ, is coming back, and he's coming back for a pure and spotless bride. Are you willing to be a worker in the harvest field? That's my season. That's my season. Are you willing to partake and partner with me, or are you just going to do what everybody does? Will you let me help you and then help you to know what to do? Will you guys stand with me as we're going to pray? I don't want to share with you what I believe the Lord shared with me of the season we're in. I want us all to have a hunger to say, Papa, Papa praat my. Jesus said that he will share his secrets with his friends. Are you a friend of Jesus? A slave doesn't know what his master is doing. If I'm confused of what the season is of God, I need to go check, am I not living like a slave? Sons and daughters, and even though my daughters don't know everything, they know a fair amount. In fact, I told them the other night, the first time I heard the Lord's voice and how it worked. Exactly, I could, and they were just like, wow. So I share my secrets, I share my things with them. I even give up my bed for them. And I give them juice because it makes them happy. That's just a joke. How much more does God want to share his secrets with you? And when he says the season he's currently busy with you, it's not because you're Olik and special. When he says to me, Issachar, in the middle of the night, it's because I'm special. Because he wants people to be plucked from hell and to get into heaven. He wants us, as Nick shared the other night, he wants us to be real about the salvation of others. He wants us to be real about the things of the kingdom and not maybe waste unnecessary time. So let's pray. God, we thank you. I hear that you're saying to me that I need to heed to the season we're currently in. And sometimes the season that's coming or the change in season is maybe not that easy. And sometimes you warn us, hey, a change is coming. But Lord, I know that also you're a God of the individual in this place tonight, to those that listen to this later. And Lord, firstly, I pray that for those that are hungry to know what is the season I'm in and how should I sow my life, what should I do, and where am I maybe wasting my time? Where am I waiting for fruit that I'm not going to see, and where should I just change my perspective to be in line with your season? Lord, I pray that over each and every individual in this place. If you want that for you and your family, an Issachar anointing, which we know is only the Holy Spirit, if you want that for you and your family, just raise your hand and say, Lord, that's me. I want to know what you're doing, and I want to know what to do about it. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord, that you gave us the helper. Helper, please help us, like the sons of Issachar, to know the season we're in, individually and as families. And then, Father God, as you give us this grace, we also ask corporately for our church community. And our church in this area, because it's not about us here. We've got a specific makeup for this area, for this community. God, will you speak to us, all of us, that the words will just come and come and come. This is what I've called you for this season. This is what is happening. Will you please speak to us corporately? Can we have Issachar moments to know this is what God is doing? We don't have to look like the next. We don't have to go run after other stuff. We don't have to do things for due sake. But when we plant with God, when we sow with God, when we allow him to work in our hearts, then we will see the fruit of salvation of many souls. Then we will see new life, new life, new life, new life. So Lord, will you please corporately help us and lead us and speak to all of us in Jesus' name. Thank you for that. Amen.